Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome again to this installment of the Apostolic Voice, where we speak prophetically and apostolically to issues facing the church, to things that relate to the church and to the world. Again, welcome today to this installment of the Apostolic Voice. Today we continue a series we started yesterday as it relates to apostles. And we call this Apostles 101. And we're talking about the types of apostles in the church, the function of apostles in the church, and we're going to also deal with the confusion as it relates to apostles in the church. I hope you enjoy this. And as we say always, a lot of this stuff we're talking about is on our Congress website. The website address is www.coaab.org, coaab.org. Our first syllabus, we called it Rethinking the Pentecostal Episcopacy. And we cover a lot of information in that particular syllabus as it relates to the bishopric, apostleship. We did an initial course introduction to canon law in that particular syllabus. We did the liturgy section in that syllabus. We did a church structure section in that syllabus as well. Our 2014 syllabus, we focused on the episcopate and episcopacy as a general session, and we talked about Christology. We talked about sacramental theology. We covered canon law part one. Continuing with the introduction to it, we did liturgy part two. We did we had a church structure section in that syllabus. We also dealt with in that syllabus what other things we dealt with in that particular syllabus. We have a question and answer section, appendix. We had an appendix with pictures in it and explanations in it, and a whole and appendix that had a vesture of clergy, clergy vestment, generalized clergy investment based on the Western way of clergy dressing. So with that said, let's begin our broadcast. I see Apostle Green has joined me on today. Let's give an apostolic and episcopal greetings, Apostle Green.
Good morning, all. Good morning.
I know we are extremely early, but that's only because the good reverend right here has to be on his way to South Carolina today. To be a part of a believers conference for one of my diocesan clergy, Court Bishop Jordan. And so we left off yesterday dealing with the second type of apostle that is found in Scripture, and that was the 12. We also said yesterday that Jesus is the chief apostle. Not saying that we can't use that particular title, but Jesus' position as apostle is different from every other apostle in Scripture, because only Jesus can be the apostle of our profession of faith, our confession, our profession of faith. He is the one who is sent to be the anointed one to birth Christianity alone on the scene. No one can be him. No one. We can be an apostle, but we can't be him. We can share in his apostleship, but we can't be him. We can't die for our own sins. It took him to die for that. That was his mission, his purpose. Because he was the God-man. He was Elohim in person. He is God incarnate, the second member of the Trinity, the Godhead. He is God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Then the 12 with Judas first. Judas fell because of his transgression. And then Matthias, watch this, because a lot of people don't want to say this. They want to say, well, they elected him. They elected him before the Holy Spirit fell, but through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, by doing what God told them to do in the Old Testament. Okay, y'all didn't catch that. I know y'all didn't. Because a lot of people try to argue, well, they elect him and the Holy Ghost and how they do that. You ain't read the Bible. The covenant, the new covenant, Jesus instituted a new covenant with his death. Pentecost ratifies the new covenant. Study your Bibles, how covenants came into power. Covenant dealt with blood and fire. Usually in the Old Testament, when God confirmed the sacrifice, he sent fire down. So man could not start the fire on their own. And so this is what happened. On Pentecost, fire came to show that God approved of the sacrifice of Christ. Holy Spirit fell like tongues of fire. That's how they knew they got filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with tongues. That's how they knew all of this was what he said, because he breathed on them and said, be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that day they heard a wind, and them 12, along with the 100, the other, it was a total 120, so that'll be an extra, a 180 up there, 108, excuse me, up there in the room with them. And they was all filled with the Holy Ghost and commissioned by the Holy Spirit to be apostolos. But the 12 specifically up there are different. They are different. Their ministries, as I and Apostle Green said on yesterday, these 12 are special witnesses. No, Paul did not even call himself a part of the 12. Paul is an apostle like unto them, like we all are apostles like unto them, but we are still not them because they have a unique mission. They become the what we would call the initial foundation to the church. Everybody else, whether you bishop, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, whatever you want to call yourself, you came later, but they are the initial foundation. If you go all the way back to the core of this thing, you find Jesus and the 12. Then from there, everything else that God said in the church. Paul never, I think Green said it, and I said it yesterday, Paul never calls himself one of the 12. The church tried to say Paul should be one of the 12. Preachers who want to force their interpretation on Scripture tried to say Paul should have been one of the 12. But Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, Paul does not call himself one of the 12, nor do he associate himself with them in the sense that he is the 12. He says he is the least among them. He calls them the chiefest of apostles, but he never compares himself to them as being, so to speak, on their level. I'm not saying there's ranking in Scripture, but understand what I'm saying. He does not compare himself. He does not say he's one of the 12. So then, the 12 is a apostle to reverse. Look in Acts. Look in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And look in Romans. Everywhere Paul, even in Revelation, when it mentions this group of disciples, it specifically calls them the 12. The 12. Now, what messes a lot of people up, because sometimes Peter, when he talks about these, after in Acts, he used the term the 11. But common sense would say to anybody, if I am talking about myself and the other apostles, I don't have to say refer to myself and them because it automatically assumes I'm it. So I can say when I'm referencing us and I want to place emphasis that the other ones are just as much as an apostle I am, I don't have to say the 12, I can say the 11. It don't exclude me. It only validates me because I'm saying they are just as much as I am. When I talk about the ACC, I can mention my board of bishops. That does not mean that I am not a part of the board of bishops. You understand? When I talk about the apostles of the ACC, when I said my apostles, it does not mean that I am not a part of the apostleship in the ACC. So when people look at it, they try to get crazy and exegete the scriptures and try to force something on scripture. I mentioned yesterday, Wayne Grodin is off. And any preacher that back up and support what he says about Barnabas are exegeting the text. The text does not say that Barnabas has the spirit of apostle. Barnabas is called an apostle like unto Paul. He's associated with it. Green, you got anything you want to add to that before we really move on and talk about the other two?
Oh, most certainly. You can find specifically, people say, well, they're going to ask you exactly where can you find it. I can show you an instant just portion. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he actually speaks about when he came in. He mentioned that Jesus first showed himself, who he showed himself to in succession, and he mentioned clearly the 12. Then he mentioned James, his brother, the Lord, and then other apostles, and then he said, and finally me. He did not mention himself in those ranks. It's amazing how people try and place him somewhere where he is not placing himself. You can't do that. You cannot do that. That is out of order. You're giving someone a job and role and responsibility that he himself never had and never assumed and not God never gave. He was not a part of the 12. He was a dynamic apostle, but you can't place him a part of being a part of the 12 just because he wrote most of your New Testament. That you're doing popularity and favoritism. That's the same nonsense that comes about saying, oh, well, the other apostles didn't do much and Paul did the most because only because of what you read. But they're missing a lot.
Amen. And so, I mean, clearly, Scripture testifies, like Apostle Green said, like I've said, that Paul does not consider himself one of the 12. He does not. And then the next thing, remember what we said yesterday as we look at these, as we look at this, it's more intricate than what we're covering, because because once I get through this, I got to get on the road today. But, you know, in these last 20 minutes here, you have to understand something about apostleship. Like we said, people, and King James, it was good at this. He told his scholars he told them to maintain the current ecclesiastical polity as they translate Scripture. And guess what? Many of the current translators who translate the Bible follow that same polity, whether they know it or not, because most of them will not. Even when you look at people like Strong will say that the apostles are just the 12. And then after that, he said the name was applied to those who wasn't apostles, but they was apostolic men and people who were trained by the apostles. They was messengers. They do that to only accentuate or focus on the ministry of the 11 minus Matthias and Paul, because they want to say these are apostles. Even some of our ancient brethren, they actually said Jesus made Paul an apostle on the road to Damascus, but that's not Scripture. Jesus, when Paul got through his Damascus experience, and when he met the prophet later on in Damascus, he is made a prophet teacher. We know that because the Scripture says in Acts 13:1 that Paul, as well as Barnabas and Simeon and the rest of those folks that was in that text, they are prophet teachers. And the Holy Spirit told those five prophet teachers to set aside two of these for the work that I've called them to. And if you read Acts 14:14, as I said yesterday, you will see the Bible said, and when the apostles, then it says Barnabas, Kai, Paulos. Barnabas, Kai, Paulos. Kai is the word that's translated as and in the text. That word Kai means that whatever is said before the names applies to both. So literally, when it says, and when the apostles, Barnabas and Paulos, Paul, literally it's saying that both of them are what the word, the title says before that, which are apostles. And so with that being said, a lot of translations are still doing the same thing. They would not translate the text correctly from the Greek to apply the word apostle to everyone that the Scripture actually applies it to. It's just like when Jesus said, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he greater than he that sent him. Literally, that Scripture says, neither is the apostle greater than he. Look at the Greek. I promise you, look at the Greek of that text. The Greek of that text used the word apostolos. Neither is the apostle greater than he that sent him. Lord, have mercy. You see how people, by some of our scholars, they take the text and they don't do what the text actually said. They keep it subjective to what they're thinking or what church should be. And we preach this stuff like it's gospel when it cannot be even found in the original text. That brings us to our third grouping of apostles. I call these the apostles of the New Testament. And I'm not saying that all of us are not apostles of the New Testament, but I'm specifically calling these apostles of the New Testament because they are found in our New Testament. And I want to differentiate those from what I call the fourth group, which would be apostles of the church. That'll be all of us today who are apostles who are not a part of that New Testament number. Because many of the, not all of those, because you cannot, it'll be conjecture and adding to Scripture if we say all of those had the same experience that Paul had, the same experience that Barnabas had to have had as well. Because, see, this is why a lot of people said Barnabas was not the same type, because they said Barnabas did not work any miracles. But you don't know that. Everything about Barnabas is not told in Scripture, just like everything about Matthias is not told in Scripture. What's the man named? Nathaniel, who is also called the son of consolation. What's his other name? I can't think of it offhand. I think it's Thaddeus or something. What he did is not known in Scripture. We have more than one Simon in the text. What they did is not known in Scripture. So anything we add to it, we are literally exegeting the text, adding to it to try to maintain our own concept and all that. We don't know if Apollos saw Jesus because the text did not tell us that. But the text does tell us that Apollos, the text does tell us that Apollos is an apostle. The text does not tell us that the unnamed apostle worked miracles, because Paul says there is an unnamed apostle. But Paul never said that he worked miracles, but he calls him apostle. The text also calls Silas or Savinius, however you want to pronounce his name, an apostle, a co-laborer, Timothy and Titus. But it does not say they worked miracles as well. It doesn't even tell us they saw Jesus. And it's conjecture to try to say, like some people say, well, Timothy was a part of the 70. That could not be the case. And it's easy to prove that Timothy could not have been a part of the 70, because when Paul took Timothy to the temple, the Jews had an uproar because they knew Timothy was not circumcised. Did y'all catch that? They knew Timothy wasn't circumcised. And they called him that. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Green, you can correct me wrong, did not Paul have to circumcise Timothy to keep the people at peace at the temple?
Yes, he circumcised him himself. He not only brought him into the faith, but he circumcised him himself by his own hands, just so that he could bring him on in.
And see, this is what people, they try. See, when we add to the text, we miss jewels like this that are found in the text that proves a lot of this stuff we've been taught wrong. Timothy is not a part of the original 70. He could not have been. Because if he had been, then Jesus should have made sure he was circumcised. He could not have been. Because if he would, if was a part of 70, he would have been circumcised. There's a few more that people try to include as a part of 70. I'm not saying some of these are and some of these aren't, but I can say for sure that Timothy could not have been, because Timothy was not circumcised. Then this would have been a big issue in Jesus' ministry if he was a part of the 70 in that first group that walked away from Jesus, if he was not circumcised.
That's
and
right.
The Bible says he wasn't circumcised. So you can't say that these other apostles, all of these was the 70 and all that. No. No, Matthias could have been a part of the 70. And I don't doubt that. But I do doubt, with every bit of scripture I got, that Timothy was a part of it. So that tells me that not all the apostles probably, and I'm almost a firm believer, that Timothy never saw Jesus in person. Because Timothy is actually a young man. And by most scholars, he's about 25 years old, which have been by right the reason why Paul said, let no man despise you because you're you, because if he was 30 years old and the age of a rabbi is actually supposed to start ministry, then they would have never said anything. But if he was at least 25 and under 30, that means he would have been the age that you start training priests, which is at 25 under the Levitical law, 25, and you
correct.
Released him into ministry at 30. And so
that's
that means that he has to leave the priest, huh?
That's 100% correct.
Yeah, so that means Timothy had to leave to be between 25 and 30 because they had a problem with his young age. You hear what I'm saying? So Timothy, in my humble opinion, and considering that Paul was an older man and all that when he found Christ and all that, I highly doubt that Timothy ever met Jesus. Not in the flesh. So how can we sit here and we take certain rules in the Bible and apply them unilaterally across the board when the scripture never applies them unilaterally across the board? Because if it did, it should have told us every one of these other men in scripture have met the qualification. But the reason why a lot of our scholars do not accord some of these men to being apostles because they don't, most of them do not believe any of these other guys saw Jesus. So they can't go with what the scripture says and use the term apostle. They use the term messenger to try to downgrade these other men. But watch this, and I know Apostle Green can back me up on this, and he can pick up on this when I throw this out. In Revelations, it says, up to the church, that he said, you have tried those who were apostles and found that they were not. You know what's so interesting? Because I've seen some bishops on Facebook try to talk about this verse, and they take it out of context. Watch this. And Green, I know Green going to pick this up after I say this, because he's going to add some more to this. If they tried apostles and found they were not, why are they trying apostles if there was only the 11 and Paul? Can I say that one more time? And Green can pick it up from there. Why are you trying apostles? Is there any need? Do it make any sense to try people to see if they were apostles if there was only the 11 and Paul? That's asinine to try something and you already know who the apostles really are. Green, you want to pick up on that?
You know, that question right there is an embarrassment to many people's so-called scholarship. we could throw a host of names out there that would challenge that. Stackius, and mind you, people, everybody knows I love going through church history, but to prove the point, I'm naming names strictly from the scriptures. Stackius. Romans, you find his name in Romans chapter 16, verse 9. The church has always regarded him as an apostle. He was actually one of the people who became one of the bishops in the church. Onesimus, if you read the book of Philemon, yes, Onesimus, the slave. Paul wrote to Philemon, and after that letter was written, the historic tradition is that Philemon loosed Onesimus to him, and Paul made him an apostle and sent him to Byzantium to be bishop. After he went to Byzantium to be bishop, he then later went over to Ephesus to take over after Timothy died. Then we can name Timothy again, who is mentioned as an apostle several times in Scripture. Titus, who is mentioned as an apostle in Scripture. Apollos is mentioned in Scripture several times. Silas is mentioned in Scripture several times. pardon the pronunciation, Aphroditus, the apostle to Philippi, he's mentioned in Scripture. John Mark. He's an apostle. He was the disciple of Peter, and he wrote the gospel according to Mark. He was an apostle. James, the brother of our Lord. Jude Thaddeus, the other brother of our Lord. I'm sure we are well over the 12 right now. We've got a nice number of past the 12. Junia, oh boy, and her husband Andronicus. Both the planters of the church of Pannonia. Yeah, that's a controversial one because we just named a female apostle. I can easily keep going. I can easily start naming names from church history and such. The point is this. There is more to this than meets many people's eyes. And the only reason why it doesn't meet many people's eyes is because their eyes are actually either closed or looking the other way. But it's sitting there in plain sight. It's not like it's hidden.
Man, you said a lot. You said a whole bunch. I mean, this stuff is in plain sight. But see, the problem is, like I said earlier, one of the problems is, some of these people that are scholars, actually that can read the Greek, can look at this and tell what it is. But they don't want to accept it, because if you accept it, then you have to change the current paradigm. You have to change, and you have to allow for what Scripture allows. But then that may mean that you may have to. They think they have to lose some of the place that they have, and all that. That's why you need to come to COAB so we can tell you how to be an apostle and bishop and how you can work together. Yes, I did a shameless plug just then.
Amen.
And so that's the third. The third group is filled with. Literally, you can probably count up over 100 different apostles in the New Testament. You know, the weird thing about this, we have some of our scholars who look at in the Old Testament. Now, think about this. According to most definitions, an apostle is somebody sent by Christ. But then they try to deny Jesus' apostleship, even though the Bible says he was sent by the Father. But then they go. Then the same people would go to the Old Testament and look at the antitype. And they would say, oh, Moses is an apostle. If you can recognize Moses as one, and he's not even technically in the New Testament church, he's Old Testament. Why can't you recognize all of these other men and women in the New Testament that are listed in the text? Even when you watch this, Green, and this ain't even in the topic for the day, if they got a problem with women teaching men, why in the world Paul talks about Priscilla the woman and Aquila the man? And he lists Priscilla's name first, which infers that she was probably the actually one that was teaching. Because in that culture, you list the men first. I ain't got no help in this church today. Lord have mercy.
The law of first mention is key.
Yeah. He mentioned her first, which implies she must have been a teacher. And the Bible said they both taught Apollos. Wait. A woman is not supposed to teach a man, according to the way y'all misinterpret 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 3 and chapter 5. Somebody got an issue here. It ain't the Bible. Let's look at the last group real quick. We're running out of time. We're going to have to do another one when I get back from out of town. Any last 3 or 4 minutes. The last one we call the Apostles of the Church. And the reason why we do this, because because technically speaking, the last group really, that's all of us are part of that third group. But just to give a little differentiation and give a little different a little bit more respect, because they are actually included in the pages of Holy Writ. That's the only reason why I do this, because, you know, technically speaking, we're all in that same group with a Barnabas and an Apollos and the rest of them, because we're all in the New Testament ain't finished yet. We're all in that. But just to give a little respect to those that are in Holy Scripture, you know how people are about that. They get mad when they think you're trying to put yourself on the same level as those in the Bible. And so, Lord have mercy, I ain't going that green.
That's
I know you
another,
could. I ain't going
I'll there. Go there one day.
But the thing is that there is a group of apostles today in this church, because we're in the church age, the age of grace. I promise you there are still apostles today, because the church is not, first of all, the church isn't everywhere. Secondly, the Bible never said that the apostles shall cease. And see, this is the issue. A lot of our people, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to let Green have the last 2 minutes of this. The problem is that a lot of folks, like we said in a couple of broadcasts before, they try to make Ephesians say something different than Timothy. And when Ephesians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy are written to the same man and the same church. What Paul did when he said the pastor teacher, he explained to him in Timothy what the pastor teacher was supposed to do. He explained to him what the elders, the deacons, were supposed to do. Not just the deacons, but the female deacon, male deacon, and the widows, because there's widows mentioned in that scripture. There's also ruling elders that are not preachers. Mr. Church Green, you take the last minute and a half here and go for it.
Well, you can look at the model of how the church moved about. It mirrored Old Testament. Jesus was very strategic and surgical with that. You would see Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. In the New Testament typology, you can find James, Peter, and John. Or before before that James died, before the or first James died, it was Peter, James, and John. And then when that James died, who was John's brother, it became James, Peter, and John, James, the Lord's brother. That's the top three out of the 12. And then in the Old Testament, you find the 12 princes of the tribes of Israel. Yes, they were 12. They were called the 12 princes of the tribes of Israel. Likewise, you will find the 12 apostles in heaven. You would see 24 thrones. The 12 princes of the tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles of the church. And then, if you did more study, if you did your reading, which you people are supposed to do, bless the Lord, you would find that under the 12 princes, you have 70 rulers. 70 rulers. Likewise, you will find the 70 apostles, those 70 who were sent out. Now, traditionally, many people would squeeze in certain people within the 70, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Nevertheless, you see the structure there. And then you would have a host of other leaders. So
y'all have a great day. We out of time, Greg. We out of time. God bless y'all.
I'm sorry.
God bless y'all.
Yes,
y'all have a good one. We're going to finish this up later. This has been a great one.
Oh, yeah.
Bless you. Bless you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.